Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace, and today we're going to be doing something a little different. I have a special guest with me, and we're going to be talking about DC Superhero Girls Hero of the Year. It was their first animated movie. It's written by Shay Fontana. Has tons and tons of talented voice actors. Too many to list here, but I will put a link to their IMDb page where you can go and see everybody who stars in the movie. Some really incredible voice actors. This was, as I said, their first kind of full-length animated movie. There obviously is the series as well, the cartoon series, and it was released in, this Hero of the Year movie was released in 2016. So my daughter, who is with me, who loves DC Superhero Girls, has been bugging me to do a podcast with me for a while, and this is what she wanted to talk about. She wanted to talk about DC Superhero Girls. So Aspen, say hi to everybody and tell everybody why you like DC Superhero Girls so much.
Hi, I like DC Superhero Girls because I find them, I just think they're really cool and I like the adventures that they have.
Okay, well, that's pretty fun to be able to see girls, not just superheroes that tend to be men or boys. But this DC Superhero Girls is like girl power, right? And you get to see cool girl heroes that you can pretend to be and play with the toys and create your own adventures. That's a lot of fun, right?
Yeah, I enjoy playing with them when I'm bored because I just have a lot of fun.
All right, well, let's talk about the movie specifically. The kind of the story in broad strokes, there's a couple different plot lines going on in the background. There's the Hero of the Year award that goes out at DC Superhero High for the hero who's kind of been the most inspiring over the past year. So we have that competition going on. And in the background of that competition, or while that competition is happening in the background, there's some villains that attack. Like villains often do, they want to take over the universe, they want to rule, and they start stealing different artifacts from across the universe that the different heroes have. Barda's staff, Hawkgirl's nth metal belt, Lady Shiva's, one of her throwing stars, and Katana, sorry. You don't have to whisper. Look at that, she's correcting me. Was it Lady Shiva? Katana's throwing star. And the thing that's going to power this staff that they're creating out of all these weapons, the kind of the power source, the most important piece is a crystal that Supergirl has, one of the last crystals of Krypton, which I thought was kind of cool because if you go back and watch the first Superman movie with Christopher Reeve, crystals play a big role in Krypton, even the way it looked. So I thought that was kind of cool. It kind of ties back to some old school DC lore in that way. And then, you know, we don't want to get too spoilery, but it's Dark Opal from the Gem World, from the Amethyst comics, and he's teamed up with Eclipso, who is female in this version, as opposed to the comics where Eclipso's a male villain. So they team up, and they're trying to rule the universe, as it were, and it's up to our DC Superhero Girls to kind of save the day. So that's sort of the overall story, but there's a lot more involved than just that. Because I really think the value in these comics, as I said, is, you know, obviously they're entertaining for kids. It's a great introduction to these heroes and to the world of DC for kids. But there's also, you know, there's little jokes, there's fun little sight gags and stuff like that. So overall, I really enjoyed it. It's about a 90-minute movie. And this, something else that happens in this movie is that Big Barda, who previously to this is a villain, you know, she's part of the Female Furies fighting for Darkseid. She comes to this DC Superhero Girls High as a hero for the first time. She's making that transition. So had you seen Barda in DC Superhero Girls before this, or was this your first time seeing Barda?
I've never actually seen Barda before because they've never actually had her. I think this is the first time they've actually had her of what I've seen, but I haven't seen many of the movies, but I have read a lot of the comics, and I've never seen her really in it, so I think this might be one of the first times that they put it in one of their movies.
And did you like the character of Barda? Did you think it was interesting they all thought she was still a bad guy, or?
Only some of them actually thought it. One of the people who thought she was, like, still wanting to, like, take over was Lady Shiva. She really thought, like, well, she brainwashed my father and stuff, so maybe she's still, but really she helped them out, so she wants to help and not really be on the dark side.
Do you think there's a lesson to be learned there about assuming what people's intentions are?
Yeah, I think that you can never judge a book by its cover. You have to actually trust people, even though you might not be able to trust them as much, but you have to learn to trust people, or else you can never, like, trust anyone, and then people won't know, well, like, what if she's not going to do stuff and stuff? So, like, we can't just judge a book by its cover, basically.
Yeah, so you think you have to give people a chance to show that maybe they've changed?
Yeah, you have to just at least give people a chance, take a risk, because if you don't take a risk, then you don't know what the real world is going to be like, because there's going to be a lot of things that you have to take risks about, and if you never want to take a risk, then it's not going to be, that's not just going to help you, it's just not going to prepare you for what you're going to bring, because the real world is very, just kind of a sad place where, like, you just have to learn how to live, but if you don't trust people, then you can't, like,
learn and grow.
Yeah, you can't learn and grow.
Yeah, that's a good point. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and it happens a few times during the movie, is Barbara Gordon, or Batgirl. So her dad teaches forensics at the school, and her dad's a little bit overprotective. In the comics, it's not really a thing where Commissioner Gordon knows that his daughter is Batgirl, because he probably wouldn't approve. He'd be worried about her all the time. So how do you find that relationship to be between Commissioner Gordon and Batgirl? Do you think it's appropriate? Do you think it's accurate? Like, am I like that with you? Am I always, like, worried that you're going to get hurt and want you to sit at the front of the class and that kind of thing?
Well, I wouldn't say that you will, but my mom definitely will, because she's very protective. And so she's just a lot of protective for me. So I think that you're not really too protective of me, not as much as she is. But it is accurate. I mean, I think he only has her, so he wants to protect her. So I get it, because if you only have, like, if I was a parent and I only had one child, you want to keep that child safe so you can have them as long as you can.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so maybe not super accurate in that it has to be the dad that's overprotective, but parents always want to protect their kids. Yeah, that's true. So, but they make little jokes out of it. It's kind of funny. Yeah. There's also a little subplot where Hawkgirl is trying to teach Beast Boy how to be a better hero, because Beast Boy is always kind of wild and eating armpit pumpernickel and calling everybody mama. Yeah, mama! So that's kind of funny, but Hawkgirl is one of the heroes that's nominated for this Hero of the Year, and she has to partner up with Beast Boy for a school project. And she's kind of disappointed that she gets stuck with, quote unquote, stuck with him. And then he kind of decides, well, maybe, you know, I'm not a good enough hero, I guess, or I could be a better hero. And so then she's trying to teach him how to be a better hero. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Hawkgirl basically always, I just of how, like, the movie says it, it's like she always has to be stuck with Beast Boy. But, I mean, it's just part of his personality to be wild. Everybody has, like, a part of their personality that they have to show. And that's what Beast Boy does. And then he tries to, like, be a better hero. And then one of my favorite parts of the movie is that, so it's Friday, and then Hawkgirl says to him, "The training will continue at sunrise." And he's like, "Sunrise? On a Saturday?" And she's like, okay, you better do it. And so that's one of my favorite parts. It's just because of how he reacted. Because, you know, I feel like a lot of guys just sleep in. See, I'm one of the people who do not sleep in. So he said some funny stuff in the movie, and so I just think that just of how they, like, coordinate? Yeah, that. I don't know what to say. So they just, like, come together, and they actually help each other while Beast Boy is being wild. So sometimes you still have to be, like, a proper hero, but you still have to, like, show your personality.
Yeah, I mean, she tries to make him, like, a copy of her. Like, do everything the way that she does. That doesn't really work too well when he goes to try to
save people, because, you know, he has different powers than she does. So you can't really do it too well because they have completely different powers.
Yeah, so you're talking about when they're fighting the shadows?
Yeah.
But even when he flies up to, he turns into a bird and he flies up to the Eclipso and Dark Opal. Instead of, like, fighting them, he tries, like, to be polite.
He's just like, you need to leave, ma'am and madam.
Yeah, and it doesn't really work out too well, huh? Yeah. So what do you think the lesson is there?
That sometimes you just have to be yourself. I mean, you can't, like, be someone else because you're not that same person. There's only one of them and one of you, so you have to live.
Yeah, that's true. Yourself. Yeah. And you know what? I forgot one other thing about Commissioner Gordon and Batgirl. There's a part where Wonder Woman needs to go to Themyscira to get her shield repaired. And they say, hey, Batgirl, why don't you fly us in your bat plane? And we'll... Bat jet. And Batgirl's kind of like, oh, I don't know. You know, my
father gets worried.
Yeah, gets worried. I don't think I should fly halfway around the world.
And then Bumblebee says, well, it's technically not halfway around the world. It's a third. And then I was like, well, I get it. Because, you know, it's not the exact thing. It's a third of the half. So technically, it's not halfway around the world. So you're fine.
So that's a technicality and she's allowed to do it?
Yeah.
That's totally something you would do.
Yes.
But really, she probably should have checked in with her dad.
But, you know, they had to go if Wonder Woman, like, wanted to, like, get her shield repaired for the Hero of the Year ceremony. They had to, like, do that.
Yeah, but don't you think she still should have showed her dad?
Yeah.
Told her dad?
I mean, you know, teenagers sneak out all the time, so whatever.
Yeah, you better not try that.
No way. My window leads out to the backyard. I can't go anywhere.
Yeah, you just remember that. And also, what happens when she comes? The first thing when the bat jet lands, who's the first one there? Where the heck were you?
Her dad.
Yep, her dad.
You know, overprotection.
Overprotection. Let's talk about some of the characters. So, who is your least favorite character in this movie? Do you have one? Is there anybody that just you're kind of like, meh?
I mean, I really like all of the characters in it. So I don't really have, like, a least favorite. I like all of them because I think they're really cool and they each have, like, some stuff to learn about them. So I think all of them are great. I don't really have a least favorite.
All right. Well, I definitely have a least favorite. Like, she's looking at me with surprise. I do not like the Harley Quinn.
You don't like Harley Quinn?
Her voice is so annoying. I understand a lot of people love Harley Quinn, but I don't know. I don't know. She's always trying to ham it up, and I don't know. She just didn't really do it for her. I don't hate her or anything, but I just think, I guess maybe I really haven't gotten a chance to see who this version of Harley Quinn is, because they didn't really develop her character at all. I don't really know that much about her, so... Maybe because you've seen some of the episodes and you've read the comics, you understand who she is a little more.
I played the game, so I understand her. Actually, one of my favorite characters is Harley Quinn because I like her personality. I like how she tries to I like how she says a lot of things and how she just says it. She says it kind of funny to me. So I personally really like Harley Quinn, but you don't love her and you don't hate her. So you just kind of
She's all right. Yeah, she was my least favorite. I wouldn't say I disliked her, but she was my least favorite. I think my favorite character, because I haven't spent a lot of time reading the DC superhero girl stories, but I think my favorite character, I think it's Batgirl. They really give her a lot to do in this movie, and she gets to show off how smart she is, even though sometimes it's kind of weird, like when she fixes the power.
Yeah, because so the shadows destroyed the whole thing. They ripped it. They shredded it. And then she comes and she just plugs it in, and then everything starts working together. It's like, how did these people do this? The shadows destroyed it. They ripped it apart. Like, how? Maybe they didn't show the part that she may have put the stuff back in there, but we don't know. But that's what I was kind of thinking. But still, they just plug it in. It's like, you cannot do that. You have to have a whole thing to attach it. It's like, you can't do that. They
She should have had to repair it instead of just...
Yeah, but maybe they didn't... Maybe they just didn't have time to show
it. Yeah, probably.
Because in a lot of movies, they have things that they want to show, but it's going to be too long. So they have to cut it out. So maybe that was part of it. Because I did notice that one of the control panels was back in there. So maybe they had to cut some things out. I don't know.
That's probably the case. I mean, we are getting a little nitpicky, but yeah, we both noticed it when it happened. I think another part of what they kind of, a big theme, I guess, of the movie is, you know, we've talked about a few of the things that happened. It's probably fitting in. We already talked about it with Barda, where you got to give somebody a chance to show they've changed, you know, take a risk that they, you know, you might get hurt, you know, you're trusting somebody and you're giving them your friendship that had done bad things in the past. So you're taking that risk, but she's just trying to fit in. And then also, like you said, with Beast Boy, he's just trying to be himself.
And he's trying to fit in with everybody else. Cause you know, everybody else is good, mature. So he's just trying to fit in like that. And so he just wants to be a lot like other heroes, but you don't have to. As long as you try, then that's all that matters. But you still have to be yourself in there somewhere. To be yourself.
Yeah, and I think that reminds me, we were talking about how did it come around that Beast Boy decided he wanted to get some training from Huckerl. And it was because nobody wanted to partner up with him for the school project. Then Hawkgirl says, well, it's because you're so wild and crazy. And that's why he decides to try to be somebody who he's not.
And be more mature.
So yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you have to just go wild. It's just who you are.
But it's interesting because you look at it. So Barda, she needs to change and not do terrible things. So we're saying in Barda's case, she does need to change and grow. But then... we're also saying with Beast Boy, but you just need to be yourself. So which one is?
Well, for Barda, she needs to change. But for Beast Boy, he just needs to stay. They're complete opposites on this thing. They're complete different on who they need to be.
Yeah, but when you're telling somebody, okay, I think you need to change so that you can be a different person... but then you go to the next person and you say you want to change, but you need to, which one is true?
Well, it's hard to actually say because they both need that. They both need completely opposite things. So I don't really know too much about, which one should it be. I mean, but they both, have to change a little bit in their personalities and stuff and just how they act. Maybe Beast Boy should be, a little more mature than he is, but still have his wild side. And Barda just needs to, change and be more friendly, I guess you would say that.
Well, I mean, maybe it's that... so Beast Boy doesn't need to... I mean, maybe he does need to be a little more mature. But, like you said, for him, it's his personality where he gets kind of wild. But he always... his actions, the things he does... I mean, he is a hero. his actions are heroic. He doesn't do bad things like try to take over the Earth. Where Barda, it's like her personality is okay. She seems to have a good personality. She seems to actually care about people. She comes to Lady Shiva's rescue at one point. But it's not her personality that needs to change. It's her actions, because she was doing, when she was with Granny Goodness and the Female Furies, her actions, even though maybe her personality was, you know, more mature, but her actions. So it's her actions that need to change for Barda. So she can be true to herself and keep her same personality, but it's her actions that need to change. Whereas Beast Boy is kind of different, because his actions have always been good. He's always been on the right side, a hero, but his personality is what gets wild, right?
Yeah, so they're just, like I said, completely opposites. But, you know, it's hard to say, because, like, when they're opposites, you're just going to have to say, well, this person was this, and you're the opposite of what that person is. So you just have to, like, say it. It's harder to, like, not say it while they're, like, trying to be, like, in the same sentence. It's just hard to kind of say it. I don't really know.
Yeah, the one other aspect of the movie that we're actually not going to talk about it, because if we do talk about it in detail, we could spoil it, and we don't want to spoil who wins the Hero of the Year. But we'll just say that sometimes when the odds are stacked against you and you feel like you can't do something, if you believe in yourself and you try really hard and you value your friends and their friendship, and you put what other people need ahead of what you need for yourself and what might be best for you, then that's the true meaning of a hero. And I wish more people were doing that right now. I mean, right now we hear about all these people. We're stuck in this quarantine. We're not supposed to go outside. And we hear about these people who can't wait to get back out to the beach, or can't wait to get back out to the park, or what have you. And they're saying, well, I don't care if I get sick. To me, it's worth it, because I just can't be stuck inside anymore. And you need to think about somebody besides yourself.
Need to think about the healthcare workers and the people who have the virus. You have to think about other people. You can't just think about yourself. Because sometimes I just think about myself, and then sometimes I accidentally hurt my friend's feelings. And I only think about myself. But you have to think about, well, what would someone think if I chose what I'm going to do? What if someone else is going to be like, well, you shouldn't do that? Like, you have to think about someone more than just yourself. Because if you think about yourself, then that's kind of being selfish. You're not thinking, and you're not caring. You're not caring for anyone. You're just thinking about, well, I'm, like how some people just always want to win. They're like, well, I'm going to win. And then when they realize that they don't win, then they become selfish. And then they become rude, and they're like, you shouldn't have that trophy or something, whatever. You have to think about more than just yourself.
Yeah, 100%. If everybody only thinks about themselves, if every single person on this planet is selfish, then we're going to be in big trouble. Because, maybe you don't care if you get sick, but you get sick, and then you could infect other people, and other people have to take care of you. So you're endangering more than just yourself. So that's definitely a theme that's really appropriate right now. The person in the film, in the movie, who puts other people ahead of themselves, they end up winning the Superhero Hero of the Year for that reason. And it's pretty, I think it's appropriate that they were the ones who won.
Yeah, because you have to put yourself out there with other people out there. Because if everybody was selfish, we would not have healthcare workers, doctors, nurses. No one would want to care. And so when you're sick, you wouldn't even have your family. You would only have you to take care of yourself, because no one else would even think about you. So that's why we have healthcare workers and people. And the healthcare workers right now are putting their lives in danger to help you be alive. So really, you just have to care. And so people who are like, oh, I can't wait to get back to the beach. I can't wait and can't wait. Well, sometimes you have to think more than yourself.
Yep, definitely. So I thought it was good. I thought it was enjoyable. Harley Quinn bugged me a little bit, but other than that, I thought it was pretty good. What are your final thoughts on the episode?
There's a lot of funny parts in there that I thought was really funny. One of the funniest parts is that Bumblebee, she said, because I think Hot Girl told her, well, someone, or the villain Dark Opal, that's the villain, and then Bumblebee said, well, that doesn't really sound like a supervillain name. It sounds more like a jewelry store, which I thought was really funny, because just of how, I mean, like, their names, just because they're, like, from Gem World and stuff. So I agreed with Bumblebee, because, you know, it sounds like, just like a jewelry store to me.
Yeah, there was another part that you laughed really loud at. I can't remember what part it was. It was toward the end. Well, yeah, it was really entertaining. It was really fun, and I'm glad that you made me watch it.
Yeah, I've been bugging him all the time. It's like, are we going to do the thing? Are we going to do the thing yet?
So we finally did the thing. We watched DC Superhero Girls Hero of the Year, and we podcasted about it, and maybe we'll do another one. If all you listeners out there enjoyed this, then let me know, and we'll do another one, and we'll get Aspen back on. So. Thanks for listening, as always, everybody.
I enjoyed being here. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.